And one of the genres that one finds here in War and Peace is what the Germans called at the time a Bildungsroman, a novel about a moral and psychological journey of a person to try to discover themselves and truth about the world. And in fact, this is exactly what a good part of this novel concerns. And in fact, several characters in War and Peace take this journey of Bildung, this journey of self-knowledge and discovery and enlightenment. And among these, the most important for the most autobiographical character in War and Peace is a man named, and his name is telling, Pierre Bezukhov. It's a wonderful name. Pierre, he's a Russian, but he has a French first name, a sense of the uprootedness and foreignness and excessive Frenchification of this character. But his last name, Bezukhov, means a man without ears, a man who cannot hear. Who cannot hear what? You can ask, perhaps, truth and about the world. And Bezukhov's journey of moral and spiritual growth takes him through a number of interesting stages, alternating, of course, with periods of absolute despair and uncertainty. He begins with a stage of sensuality and physical self-indulgence. One recognizes the autobiographical story here to some extent. He's led to greater searching for the meaning of life. He becomes a Freemason. He becomes involved in philanthropy. That leads him eventually to greater and greater mysticism. One could see this as the course followed by many intellectuals, especially in the era of the Napoleonic War, indeed in some ways by Pushkin and the Decembrists, and even to a certain extent Alexander I himself. But finally, this journey leads him beyond all these stages, and it leads him to a truth embodied in a peasant. This is typical Tolstoy, in a peasant whose name is Platon Karatayev, a man who Bezukhov shares a cell in Moscow in 1812 after they're both picked up wandering the streets of the burning city occupied by the French. Platon Karatayev, and by the way, his name, Platon, is the Russian word for the great philosopher Plato. This is obviously intentional. Platon Karatayev, this Russian Plato of the peasantry, is a natural man of the people, as he's portrayed. He exemplifies all the great principles of life, all the virtues that Tolstoy would embrace later in the 1880s and after. Simplicity, honesty, being in touch with community and a sense of community and even nation much more than simply individuality. And above all, a natural occupation. Here was a man who could hear the world, the natural world, who worked close to nature and who wasn't alien in the way that Bezukhov was. In fact, as Bezukhov, really Tolstoy, puts it in the novel, here was, in Karatayev, the personification of everything good, Russian, and strong. In the end, however, and this is telling and perhaps prophetic about Tolstoy and so many of his generation, Bezukhov still remains, even after this journey of discovery, uncertain and lost. He's not totally sure by the end of the novel that he really has found the truth. He appears to, but he doubts. He continues to doubt. And in fact, interestingly, the only character in War and Peace whose search for the truth ends in certainty that he has found the truth about the world is a character named Andrei Bolkonsky, highly aristocratic, highly intellectual, highly sensitive individual engaged in a typical searching for the meaning of life. He finds truth, and this is telling, only when he lay on the battlefields of Austerlitz, dying, looking up at the sky. At this point, he experiences a blissful epiphany that seems to give to him the meaning of life, though, in fact, Tolstoy doesn't ever really tell us what he's discovered, except he's now dead. Now, as I've already mentioned, one of the major themes in Tolstoy's worldview, and again, from very early on, is the idealization of simplicity. He felt quite certain throughout his life that human beings were essentially born innocent, but they were gradually ruined by the institutions of civilization, especially Western European-style education that was so pervasive in Russia. The trouble with education, he said, is it was practiced everywhere in Russia, and this is before, remember, his great religious and moral conversion of the 1880s, he argued quite early that this education ruined people's natures. It blinded them to the deepest truths by all these layers of civilization. And these truths can be seen best by people who have not been corrupted, especially children, and, as he would later show in War and Peace, peasants. And you can see, of course, echoes of Slavophile arguments in all of this, especially regarding peasants. Already in the 1850s and 1860s, Tolstoy began to try to put into practice these ideas by engaging in various educational efforts on his own noble estate. He established a school for peasants, peasant boys, that is, in which he followed what was really for Russia at the time a very unusual educational method. And he wrote a great deal about it in order that people throughout Russia should hear about these things.